Joining us via the Paul Bunting Communications Hotline right now, the head coach of the Alabama Huntsville Chargers, Mike Corbett, joining us tonight. Mike, thanks for your time. We certainly appreciate it.
No problem.
Congratulations on the sweep last weekend. I know it's been a long time in coming. What was the reaction like from your team?
It was really good. It was really positive, and you know, like you said, I think the last sweep was January of 2010 in the old CHA days versus Niagara. That was the last one we were able to find out, at least from a Division I standpoint. So it was an exciting time, like you said, long time coming. And the biggest thing that we were trying to push from our coaching staff is, hey, our guys earned it. We've earned this. And it was two hard-fought wins, and we never make it easy for ourselves with some penalties at the end of the game. We played 6-on-4 on both nights at the end of the game. And but so it was really nice, real satisfying for our guys and a good confidence builder.
Well, you already have more wins than last year. As a coach, isn't that kind of what it's all about, improvement week in, week out, year to year?
And that's what we've been stressing is our process, you know, just the process of continuing to get better every day. And it started last spring, I'll be honest, and just getting our team and getting our kids on the right page as far as how we're doing things. This is how we're going to do it. And then we took that into the fall and just little by little and pushing and pushing and pushing and getting better every day. I mean, maybe in the first half of the year with all of our young guys that we brought in, and we wanted to get them a lot of ice time early, and you know, we probably weren't ready to win a lot of those games. We had a lot of one goal opportunities going in the third period of games, but once we hit Christmas time, we kind of felt as a staff that we could really push our guys to be able to say, hey, no more moral victories. We need to win these games. We need to really go after these games because, you know what, we're good enough to win them, and we're good enough to earn those wins.
Are you where you want to be yet?
You never are. I mean, you never are. The way I always look at things is there's always one more step. You know, the boys get to go out and be college guys Saturday after the game. I'm watching Bemidji tape after the game. I mean, we watch our game, and then I go home, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm watching Bemidji because, you know, it's my job to prepare them. They can have some fun, and they've earned it. But from a staff, I always look at it from, hey, no matter where you are, there's something higher. There's something bigger to shoot for, and that's the way we want our program to, our kids to look at our program.
Mike, what have you taken from your time as a player at Denver and then as an assistant under Frank Ceratori that's made you the coach that you are now?
Yeah, I've said this before. Between playing at Denver for Frank, and then when George was there, and then working for Frank, it's I've had two guys who are pretty good mentors. For me, as far as going into the coaching ranks, and so those are two guys that I've leaned on a ton over the, you know, in my short time being here, even when I was a junior coach when I first started. And you know, to me, it's the intensity of Frank, and always pushing and always trying to get the most out of your guys. And then George is always the calm X's and O's types of guys. And so I've had a little bit of both of that, you know, especially at our game. You know, our game's this weekend at 6-on-4. We get a penalty late in the game, and you got to be calm on the bench, and you got to be, you know, your boys are looking to you to lead them into this victory, and to make sure you're putting the right people out there and doing the right things at the end of a game. And you got to be calm, and it's a little more George at that point in time. Yet, you know, during the week in practice, you get a little bit more of a Frank influence and saying, okay, hey, we are good enough. We've seen that. I saw that for 10 years at Air Force where, hey, we make them believe that we are good enough and we can win these games.
Mike, people ask me all the time what it's like being around Tom Ceratori for as long as I have. How in the heck did you make it as long as you did with Frank?
You know, a lot of guys said that to me, a lot of other assistants, you know, when Joe Bonnet was at CC, and people would kind of laugh. But it's the passion, that passion that the Ceratoris have. And I'm not going to say Tom's got more than Frank or vice versa, because that's the passion. And that gets you out of bed every morning. That gets you going on the ice. And that passion, you got to love it. You know, we love what we do, and we're hockey coaches, and there's a lot of stress, and there's a lot of things when you're not doing well and those types of things, but It's the passion. You got to have that passion every day. You get up. Hey, we practice at 8 o'clock in the morning this morning. I'm up in my office at 5:30, and getting ready for practice on a Monday. And you got to have that passion. We got great jobs. Don't lose sight of that. The great jobs. And everybody wants to look at wins and losses, but you gotta want to push your kids to get better, and you gotta love what you're doing. And there isn't two guys that I know that don't love what they're doing more than Frank and Tom. And they've been doing this a long time. You know what? Between the 25 and 30 years, and they still get up and have the best passion of two guys that I've ever seen.
Well, getting back to your team, who's the one guy that maybe isn't your best player or has the best stats, but the guy that you would not want to go without on your team?
Probably we got a sophomore named Brent Fletcher who has been a really, really good guy in the last 2 years since I've been here. And you know what? Our other guy is we got a senior named Craig Pierce. And Craig was a guy that I challenged at the end of last spring to say, you know, you're not a staple in our lineup. And Craig went home and he worked his butt off and he came back and maybe he didn't play that first weekend, but after that first weekend, he was that guy to say, I can't take him out of the lineup. And Fletcher and Pierce playing a line together with our other captain, Doug Reed, and those guys have probably been two seniors and a sophomore have been our glue guys. But I'd say, you know, Fletcher's been one as far as a young guy, and Craig Pierce has been that for an older guy. Craig is, you know, he's taken all of our big face-offs. He's out there at the end of the game, and he knows what he is, and he takes a lot of pride in what he is. And he knows he's got a couple of goals, but he knows that he needs to play against the other team's top line most nights. And when we need a big block shot, he always seems to be that guy.
Mike, as the, quote, outlier of college hockey, what was your reaction on Arizona State's announcement of adding D1 hockey?
It was good. We all talk. When we have our coaches' convention, everybody gets together, there's that everybody wants to talk about, well, it's the good of college hockey. No, this actually is. You know, I think when a lot of guys say that, it's just sometimes it's a cop-out. But this is one of those things where we're growing our game, and this is for the good of college hockey. And we want to be able to have, and you're talking about a named program coming into college hockey. This isn't like us. We're a Division II school, and you guys are a small school there, and even though you're in Minnesota, but this is a big name school coming in, as when Penn State came in. And this is actually, you can step back and you can talk about, this is for the good, this is growing college hockey, because we're going into a market that I was in for college and most of my college coaching career in the Rocky Mountain District, where we've seen kids from Dallas and kids from Phoenix coming in, and obviously the California kids, there's a ton of those now, but you're seeing a lot of the kids from the Rocky Mountain District, and that's what Tempe is. It's the Rocky Mountain District, and now those schools are gonna have to start looking at it. You know, Northern Arizona, who had Division I hockey at one point in time, they're gonna have to start looking at it once Arizona State gets up and running, and you can start seeing the success they've had at the club level, and just the support they've had at the club level is absolutely tremendous.
Mike, what's the biggest concern that you have facing the Beavers this weekend?
Yeah, their team speed and their skill, their individual skill is fantastic, and they play a little bit of a unique style, and they like to stretch guys and play with speed, and that's where they got some really good. Their young guys are, if you look at the histories of their young guys, maybe they don't have great point totals right now in college hockey, but they got a lot of guys with history of scoring goals and putting up points, and that's something that this is a team that if you don't play discipline, they got a chance of running it up on you, and you've seen it against St. Cloud, you've seen it when they beat North Dakota. They have the ability to be able to win any on any given night, and their goaltending solid also. I mean, so it's going to be a battle. You know, from us, it's going to be we got to go in there and we got to be disciplined in what we do and not get too high from this past weekend. We got to go in there and say, okay, this is the team next above us in the standings, and go after them.
Mike, thanks for your time. Dress warm this weekend and safe travels.
Thank you.